In unserem Podcast-Abteilung Basketball heute unser super Sonder-Basketball-Spezialgast. Im Studio, LeBron.
Nein, LeRon.
Ohne B?
Ohne B.
Dafür ist er so gut, dass LeRon auch nur sein zweiter Name ist. Derek Williams heute bei Abteilung Basketball. Guten Tag in die Runde. Guten Tag. Alex, ich habe den erfolgreichsten Podcast Deutschlands gehört. Er heißt Gemischtes Hack.
Ich weiß nicht, ob das der erfolgreichste ist, aber ja, es ist der erfolgreichste frei zugängliche.
Ach, da gibt es ja noch Unterschiede, ne?
Natürlich. Es gibt noch einen sehr berühmten bei Spotify.
Felix Lobrecht und Tommy Schmidt heißen die beiden, Comedians. Und die nennen ihre Hörer Hackies. Jetzt ist meine Frage, weil wir die macht das Sinn, dass wir nicht mehr von Hörern sprechen, sondern auch für unsere Hörer ein Wort erfinden. Also.
Welches könnte das dann sein?
Das weiß ich nicht. Also wir haben Abteilung Basketball ist ja schwierig. Also Abteiler, Teiler, Abte, Baller.
Abdies.
Oder ist das kindisch? Macht man das nur, wenn man ein Comedian-Duo ist?
Du hast doch auch gewisses Comedy Potential, nicht? Mm-mm. Komödiantisches Potenzial. Mm-mm. Ich muss ja Deutsch sprechen. Sollte ich.
Wir müssen schnell zum Basketball kommen. Ich habe einen Kommentar gelesen zu diesem Podcast, wo jemand geschrieben hat, dass es grauenvoll war, so ungefähr wie wir über T-Shirts gesprochen haben.
Über welche T-Shirts haben wir da gesprochen? Achso, die.
Tommy Kleppheiß und hier, Rashid Mahal-Basic.
Danke an Rashid und.
Genau, danke an Kleppi.
Und Tommy, ja. Und wie jemand hat geschrieben, das habe ich gar nicht gesehen. Dass es ihn genervt hätte, dass wir über T-Shirts gesprochen haben.
Mal,
da kann ich nur sagen.
Als Sportsmann bin ich enttäuscht.
Wir reden über die Playoffs, Baby.
Oh yeah.
Playoffs, Baby.
Wir haben ja beim.
Wir waren gestern in Ulm.
Genau. Zum Zeitpunkt der Aufnahme ist es Mittwoch vor Spiel 2 Bamberg-Vechta und erst recht vor Spiel 2 Braunschweig gegen Bayern, aber
das
nach Spiel 2 Bonn-Oldenburg und nach Spiel 2 Ulm gegen Berlin. Kurze Einschätzung zu allen Serien. Also, wir sind, denke ich mal, bestätigt worden. Also Bayern gegen Braunschweig, sorry, aber ich
sehr, bin... Sehr, sehr seltsames Spiel.
Ja, ich habe was gemacht. Also ich habe das gemacht, weil ich es auch wollte.
Oh, und ich habe einen Verdacht.
Ich habe hinübergesappt vom Basketball zum Eurovision Song Contest.
Ja, ich bin dann später auch da gelandet. Hast du den Madonna-Auftritt gesehen?
Ja, der war eine Katastrophe.
Sagst du? Weil?
Ja. Weil das stimmlich nicht gut war, das habe sogar ich gehört. Und mir hat das nicht gefallen. Dafür haben mir viele, komischerweise haben mir ungewöhnlich viele Lieder gefallen.
Aha. Naja,
aber wir dürfen nicht so abschweifen, wir müssen beim Basketball bleiben. Bayern gegen Braunschweig.
Das mal sagst.
Ja, sonst kriegen wir wieder Schimpfe. Bayern-Braunschweig wird eine klare Serie, glaube ich, aber das war ein ziemliches Gurkenspiel.
Das war es auf jeden Fall.
70-59.
War das Bayern im dritten Gang oder?
Wir haben ja schon mal darüber gesprochen. Ich glaube, es ist schwer für eine Mannschaft, nicht 100% zu spielen.
Also ich habe eine Idee. Wir fragen nachher jemanden.
Genau, heute Spezialausgabe.
Ja, nachher kommt noch zu uns.
Genau, also wir machen einen kleinen deutschen Vorlauf, bevor wir dann ins American English überwechseln, weil unser Gesprächspartner der deutschen Sprache vermutlich nicht mächtig ist. Aber
ein paar Wörter kann er. Apfelschorle
kann er.
Das weiß ich, das habe ich schon gehört.
Ja.
Und wir können ja fragen, was er gelernt hat mittlerweile.
Wir werden gleich...
Um wen handelt es sich denn? Ist es wirklich...
Wir werden gleich die Äbte darauf vorbereiten, was auf sie zukommt, denn ich denke mal, so eine kleine Grundausstattung auf Deutsch, damit man weiß, worüber wir mit dem Herrn reden werden, können wir in unserem deutschen Vorspiel jetzt hier auch machen. Gut, also Bayern gegen Braunschweig. Würde ich mal sagen, ja, wir werden das auf diese Serie vielleicht mal eingehen, wenn sie zu Ende ist, würde ich sagen. Sie ist sportlich nicht die ganz große Herausforderung gerade. Die Braunschweiger haben sich reingehängt und haben versucht, glaube ich, so ein bisschen Zerstörer-Basketball zu spielen.
Ja.
Aber
auch super Moral bewiesen.
Ja, Moral ist ganz weit oben. Also das ist eine Erfolgsgeschichte, was die Löwen Braunschweig in dieser Saison geschrieben haben.
Definitiv.
Und ich bin sehr gespannt, wie diese Geschichte weitergeht. Dennis Schröder war vor Ort.
Ja, auch im Audiodom jetzt, gell?
War im Audiodom. Also
war auch bei den letzten Hauptrundenspielen da.
Genau. Also er ist ja auch Teilgesellschaft, wenn ich das richtig verstanden habe.
Ja.
Ich weiß die Prozentzahl nicht, aber ich glaube ein Viertel.
Du wüsstest sie gern.
Ja, weiß ich nicht. Nee. Ja, doch. Also da bin ich gespannt, wie es weitergeht in der nächsten Saison mit neuem Trainer und ja, wie die Mannschaft, ob die zusammengehalten werden kann, also speziell Lansdowne, Atherton, Klepheiss bleibt, das haben wissen wir. Ja.
Schon haben wir auch sehr cool,
war gute Geschichte. Also Braunschweig, mich freut es einfach für diesen alten Basketballstandort da oben, dass der am Leben bleibt. Die andere Serie, die für meinen Geschmack seit gestern durch ist, ist Alba Berlin gegen Ratio Farm Ulm.
Das muss man wohl so sagen, ja. Auch da kämpferische Leistung bemerkenswert. Also Ulm war lang dabei. Ulm
war natürlich ersatzgeschwächt.
Ja,
kein
ja.
Pat Miller. Kein
Miller.
Dwayne Evans muss wohl
noch
heftiger angeschlagen gewesen sein, als man das uns im Vorfeld gesagt hat. Da hieß es ja, der hat irgendwie Schnupfen, aber das war wohl doch noch ein bisschen mehr. Die Mannschaft hat sich komplett reingehängt.
Boggy, gute erste Minute.
Ja, dann gab es Ballverluste hier und da. Die Mannschaft ist eben, also wenn du dagegen Alba Berlin siehst, dann siehst du ja den Unterschied zwischen einer gut funktionierenden Mannschaft und einer okay Mannschaft, sage ich jetzt mal. Also der Ulm ist ja nicht schlecht, aber
Einzelspieler, sagen wir vielleicht mal so. Also es hat einfach nie geklickt. Jetzt am Ende der Hauptrunde hatte man das Gefühl, okay, es könnte was gehen. Mhm. Also ich hätte denen jetzt schon einen Heimsieg zugetraut, nachdem das jetzt gestern nicht passiert ist. Wird es natürlich ganz schwer, weil in Berlin zu gewinnen, das ist quasi ein Ding der Unmöglichkeit. Wenn Berlin diese Form hat, und es scheint jetzt auch so zu sein, dass die alle fit sind, mehr oder weniger, natürlich ausgenommen Siever, der hat nicht gespielt, aber Derek Walton Jr. ist jetzt plötzlich die Geschichte.
Mit Siever, Verletzung, Walton und Hermansson, zwei Spieler, die Eins sehr, sehr gut spielen können, unterschiedlich interpretieren, aber das macht es ja noch besser, also im Grunde. Super Performance von Alba Berlin. Also das ist so eine Partie, wo man ab und zu, also wenn ich jetzt nicht kommentieren müsste, würde ich es mir anschauen, zurücklehnen und mich einfach freuen, wie man Basketball gucken kann, so und schauen und spielen kann, was Berlin da macht.
Ich sag mal mit einem Sternchen, wenn Sigma auf dem Feld ist. Es ist schon ein erheblicher Unterschied.
Ja.
Die Minuten ohne Sigma, natürlich tun sie sich da schwerer, aber es ist einfach. Bei jedem Spieler kommt mir vor, klar, wenn er auf dem Feld ist und dann geht der Ball natürlich auch zu ihm und er kann seine, oder ich habe ihn gestern wirklich aus nächster Nähe beobachten können und er macht ja mit Augenkontakt, schickt er ja seine Leute durch die Gegend. Ja. Das ist ja Wahnsinn. Diese nonverbale Kommunikation, die diese Unit dann da hat, wenn die da gemeinsam auf dem Feld stehen und auch diese Starting Five, die gestern gespielt hat, die dann wieder kam zu Beginn der zweiten Hälfte, das war schon beeindruckend, wie er die dirigiert.
Mhm. Also. Ja, also. Top, wie das funktioniert bei Berlin, auch ohne Siever und bin sehr gespannt dann auf das Halbfinale, wahrscheinlich gegen Oldenburg. Also das ist auch das eine Serie,
die 2-0
steht und es gibt eine, wie ich finde, interessante Parallele zwischen Oldenburg und Berlin. Ich meine, der
gelbe Trikots.
Der Lux Sigma von Oldenburg heißt Rashid Mahal-Basic. Wenn man es irgendwie
nimmt. Wenn man es irgendwie so.
So würde ich es fast sagen. Bälleverteiler, wieder Triple-Double, wieder
21, 15 und 10, glaube ich.
Irgendwie sowas Absurdes wieder. Also von der Spielweise her meine ich beide, das finde ich jetzt dieser Trend, über den wir in dieser Saison schon häufiger gesprochen haben, es geht Richtung Offensive.
Rashid ist natürlich größer, noch größer.
Ja, bei Oldenburg scored auch wieder knapp 100.
Ja, ja, ja.
Alba knapp 100.
Also das wird ein schönes Shootout.
Also da muss ich ganz offen sagen, nichts gegen Bonn und vielleicht kommen die auch nochmal zurück, keine Ahnung, ich will die jetzt auch nicht zu früh beerdigen, aber natürlich hätte Oldenburg gegen Berlin einen gewissen Charme im Halbfinale.
Absolut, also da bin ich dann, also da wüsste ich auch gar nicht, wen ich picken sollte, nee, weil Oldenburg unmöglich. In der Form mit dem Cummings, du hast Paulding, du hast Mahal-Basic, also drei Offensivwaffen, dazu hast du einen Tada, der dir alles wegverteidigt, natürlich Defensive schon das Problem bei Oldenburg, also sie kassieren ja auch viel, auch jetzt gegen Bonn wieder 87, wenn ich es richtig im Kopf habe.
Sie kassieren schon einiges, aber ja. Machen eben vorne auch wirklich beständig über 90, also absolut. Wirklich beständig. Also,
das kann auch halten, also Du kannst auch Teams, also gut, im Finale wird es dann nochmal anders aussehen, aber...
Auf die Serie gehen wir aber erst nächste Woche ein. Also wir wollen jetzt hier nicht...
Das stimmt.
Kein Disrespekt vor Bonn und Ulm, die beide noch in der auf Serie Bonn sind. Bonn
super gekämpft, TJ Di Leo auch. Also das ist auch ein geiles Team. Also, das ist
eine super Mannschaft.
Aber Oldenburg in dem Moment zu erwischen, ist einfach schwierig. Also da tun sich aktuell in einer Serie alle Teams schwer.
Ja.
Also...
Was mit Vechta und Bamberg ist, das wissen wir nicht. Wenn dieser Podcast online geht, zu dieser Uhrzeit, also am Mittwochabend, recht spät, wird diese Partie 2 bereits gespielt sein. Ich habe prognostiziert, also ich, alle lieben Rastafechta. Ich liebe Rastafechta. Natürlich liebe ich. Ich finde es überragend. Das ist natürlich jeder Mensch, der Basketball liebt, muss diese Story lieben, weil sie einfach fantastisch ist. Ein kleiner Verein, attraktiver Basketball, alle an einem Strang, Juhairasa. Ich glaube, dass sie in dieser Serie, sie führen 1-0, Standpunkt jetzt, kein Spiel mehr gewinnen werden.
You are a hater.
Nee, aber sagen wir mal so, wenn das zutrifft, bin ich ein total Geiler im Übrigen. Ne? Und wenn es nicht zutrifft, werde ich darüber nie widersprechen. Weil
Ich glaube es nicht.
Also, sie haben ja fast mit 5 Mann nur gespielt.
Ja.
Also mal, sie haben offiziell
7 hat eingesetzt. Durchgespielt, ja. Will dann noch den Alley-oop machen, 20 Sekunden vor Ende noch Fast Break und dann noch die Kirsche auf die, wie sagt man das? Cherry on top? Die Kirsche auf die Spitze? Nee.
Kirsche auf die Torte.
Heißt das so? Und fällt dabei hin und verletzt sich was und denkt mir, das gibt's doch nicht, mach das nicht.
Der Physio hat gesagt, wir machen heute keine Humba.
Ja, stimmt, das habe ich auch gelesen. Total geil.
Also mega, okay. Oder?
Ja, heute nicht.
Nee,
heute
also besser Humba, nicht. Besser mal dehnen und ab in die Kabine. Also ich glaube, das kann man nicht durchhalten. Das ist das ganz große Problem.
Also einen Sieg holen sie auf jeden Fall noch, sage ich dir.
Das Knackspiel wird Spiel 3.
Ja, das kann man so sagen. Ja. Definitiv.
Also
aber dann spielen sie wieder zu Hause.
Ja, das Spiel 3 ist das Knackspiel. Wenn sie es zu Hause verlieren, werden sie Spiel 4 in Bamberg verlieren. Und ich gehe eben davon aus, dass Bamberg heute an der Ehre getroffen für diesen Standort. Wir reden von Brose Bamberg. Wir haben in den letzten 10 Jahren, Alex, 12 Jahren nichts anderes gemacht, als
über Bamberg zu sprechen. Und was kam dann?
Reset-Knopf.
Der ist ja noch nicht mal richtig gedrückt.
Mehrfach, also man muss ja wirklich schon...
Reset-Knopf.
Genau, da gibt es einen neuen Sportdirektor, der kommt aus Antwerpen, also der Mannschaft, die man im Final Four der Champions League getroffen hat.
In Spiel um Platz 3.
Mhm. Der eventuell sogar noch seinen Trainer mitbringt, das ist aber noch nicht offiziell.
Nein.
Es
tut sich sehr viel.
Tut sich einiges und man hört natürlich, dass tatsächlich der Reset-Knopf diesmal durchgedrückt werden soll. Dass selbst Spieler, die noch Vertrag haben,
nicht hundertprozentig
sicher sind. Aber das ist alles nur Gemunkel und Gemauschel und das kommt über 49 Ecken irgendwann bei mir an. Hast du schon gehört, dass?
Nein, das habe ich nicht gehört. Sehr schön zu beobachten. Was die Trainerdiskussionen betrifft.
Ja, da kommen wir, also das machen wir dann gleich noch in einem Abwasch.
Okay.
Also Bamberg, um das kurz zu beenden, ich glaube, dass sie die Serie gewinnen, weil Vechta das nicht kompensieren kann mit den beiden Verletzten und diese 7er oder 6,5er Rotation, was sie da spielen, boah, das wird zu knackig.
Ich traue ihnen auch noch den Seriensieg zu, tatsächlich. Ja.
Aber wie gesagt, ich lasse mich gerne überraschen und freue mich auf tolle Spiele und ich liebe den Basketball, ich liebe Rastafechter.
TJ Bray.
Ist im Gespräch beim FC Bayern München. Laut Sportando heute Morgen gemeldet. Sportando, nicht, das kommt jetzt nicht von uns, das wurde von Sportando, ist eine
TJ Bray
soll vor der Vertragsunterschrift beim FC Bayern München stehen.
Wow.
Mehrere Euroleague-Listen sind an ihm dran und knabbern.
Sportando meldet das, okay, gut.
Und Sportando ist eine Agentur, also da sind viele Agenten angedockt, sag ich mal.
Ja, das sind eher agentenlastige Infos. Genau. Also es ist eine Newsseite,
Eine Basketball-Newsseite, die aber unterfüttert wird von Basketball-Agenten, also.
Als Quellennetzwerk.
Ja, wenn die so was sagen, vermelden, ist da in jedem Fall irgendwas dran.
Gesprochen wurde, ja. Also oft, wurden auch schon Dinge vermeldet, die dann nicht so kamen.
Das muss man auch
sagen.
Aber ich kann mir sehr gut vorstellen, dass Bray in Deutschland bleiben möchte. Kann ich mir sehr gut vorstellen.
Bei den Bayern.
Er hat hier bei uns im Podcast gesagt, dass er Deutschland super findet.
Ja. Und der Schritt in die...
Wäre damit auch nicht damit wären die Tage von Braden Hobbs, glaube ich, gezählt.
Das kann man so sagen, ja. Mhm,
das könnte.
Dann hast du ja drei massive Ballhändler mit Low, Jovic.
Jovic sehe ich nicht mehr bei den Bayern nächstes Jahr. Das ist aber nur ein Bauchgefühl. Ganz kurz dazu, weil ich darauf angesprochen wurde. Wenn wir hier spekulieren, respektive auch meine Wenigkeit, der es sehr, sehr mag zu spekulieren, dann heißt das nicht immer, dass ich das alles weiß.
Aber das sagen wir auch meistens dazu, also du, genau. Das ist jetzt
Beispiel spekulativ, Pedro Caes,
ja.
Wo ich vermutet habe, dass er eventuell nach Berlin wechseln könnte.
Könnte, weil es passen
weil würde. Es würde.
Konjunktiv.
Man beachte den dreifachen Konjunktiv. Ja. Wir haben das unterfüttert. Wenn ich eine Quelle haben hätte, würden geworden sein, wäre würde ich sie hier nicht preisgeben, wie wir aus dem Strache-Video wissen. Der Spiegel hat es gestern gesagt. Ein Journalist nennt seine Quellen nicht.
Quellenschutz. Sie berufen sich auf den Quellenschutz.
Ganz genau.
Wie stehst du zu Quellen?
Ich lehne sie einfach nur ab. Nein, ich liebe Quellen. Quellen, Wasser. Aber
Wasser wollte auch verscherbeln, was Strache.
Hinten raus. Dann. Jedenfalls, also mal abgesehen davon, ich weiß nicht, wo Pedro Caes Trainer sein wird. Weil jetzt hört man wieder, dass er vielleicht bleibt. Ist doch schön. Super. Ja, ich liebe Rasterfechter.
Ja. Okay, aber bring den Gedanken zu Ende, was die Spekulationen betrifft.
Genau.
Ist das etwas, es ist etwas, das im deutschsprachigen Basketball
nicht vorhanden ist.
Genau, ist wenig. Im Vergleich zum deutschsprachigen Fußball beispielsweise.
Es gibt ja generell
da gibt's auf wenig. Transfermarkt.de einen eigenen Gerüchtebalken bei Spielern.
Ich habe in deutschen Zeitungen, Online-Seiten nichts gelesen über das Final Four der Euroleague. Das muss ich dir mal geben. Also
das ist
ZSKA Moskau gegen Anadolu Efes Istanbul fand aus deutscher Sportsicht unter dem Ausschluss der Öffentlichkeit
da statt. Da muss ein deutsches bei uns Team gesendet. Dabei sein.
Ja, ja, genau. Ja. Deswegen, wir sind hier ein Basketball-Podcast und wir... knallen alles raus, was man so hört, was man so glaubt, was man so fühlt. Wir sind emotional dabei, wie man hört. Und manchmal wissen wir auch etwas und das erzählen wir auch ganz gerne. Und manchmal wissen wir etwas und erzählen es eben nicht.
Das stimmt.
Genau.
Das stimmt.
Thomas Pech zu Ratio Farm Ulm als neuer Trainer ist ein Gefühl, unterfüttert von zwei Meinungen, die wir hier im Podcast abgespielt haben. Mein Gefühl sagt mir, dass das eintreten wird, aber wissen tue ich es nicht. Es wurde uns versichert, dass auch noch nichts unterschrieben ist und das glaube ich auch.
Das Lustige war ja, dass wir gestern Beteiligte beider Teams getroffen haben.
Das ist korrekt.
Im Vorfeld des Spiels, bei dem wir zugegen waren. Und also alleine die Körpersprache dahingehend zu interpretieren, wie sie dich auch anschauen und wie sie Gespräche eröffnen,
ja,
weil es wird ja wahrgenommen. Und aber es war ja nicht ungut auch. Also
es ist, die Sache ist die, wenn ich irgendwo bin und unterhalte mich mit Menschen, dann weiß ich werde oft, also man, es ist ja so, alle denken immer, ich bin Journalist und plaudere alles aus, was man mir erzählt.
Das ist natürlich Quatsch.
Das ist Quatsch. Mhm. Man wird belogen. Beziehungsweise man bekommt auch
oft... Man wird auch benutzt manchmal.
Man wird benutzt. Mhm. Manche sagen einem Dinge, damit man sie sagt, weil
damit sich die Verhandlungsposition verbessert.
Vielleicht, genau. Ja. Also wer weiß. Mhm. Wir haben letztes Jahr oder vorletztes Jahr hier erzählt, Nils Giffey unterschreibt in Bamberg.
Ja.
Der Kollege Giffey hat mal, ich glaube, stabile 50.000 Euro mehr deswegen bekommen im Jahr. Weiß ich nicht,
vermutlich mal.
Keine Ahnung.
Dann hättest du beteiligt werden müssen.
Nein, aber wurscht, ist es ja auch egal. Jedenfalls, ihr Abdis da draußen könnt versichert sein, wir plaudern hier nicht einfach nur so blind und wild vor uns rum. Manchmal haben wir eine Meinung, manchmal ein Gefühl und manchmal auch Wissen.
Und sehr oft macht es uns oder immer macht es uns Spaß, auch über Gerüchte zu sprechen, darüber zu philosophieren, weil das macht Sport ja auch so einmalig, dass du über Dinge diskutieren möchtest, dass du ja das Verlangen hast, was wäre, wenn, so, was würde passieren, wenn Pedro Caes zu Alba Berlin geht, wenn Thomas Pech zur Ratiopharmaung geht, wie würde sich das System dort verändern? Ja. Und so machst du ja auch Inhalt.
Was haben wir immer gesagt in Frankfurt? Wir glauben, Gordon Herbert geht für ein Jahr zur kanadischen Nationalmannschaft und kommt dann wieder. Bumm.
Neuer Trainer.
Herzlich willkommen, Sebastian Gleim. Alles Gute für die einjährige Arbeit in Frankfurt. Das ist derjenige, der die Lücke für das eine Jahr ausfüllt. Es wird genauso passieren, wie wir es hier vermutet haben, ohne es gewusst zu haben.
Also, ja.
Edge. So.
Jetzt geht's los.
Genau, gleich.
Jetzt geht's los.
Gleich kommt unser Spezialgast. Es wird LeRon sein.
Oh, genau, LeRon ohne B. Das ist ganz geile Trivia.
Das ist ganz geile Trivia.
Ja, genau. Aber ich weiß sie leider. Ja, ich habe auch überlegt, ob ich sie dich fragen soll.
Warum er nicht LeRon heißt?
Naja, Zweitname einfach nur aus dem Kopf raus.
Ach so.
Unseres Gastes namens.
Nein, wir müssen ja jetzt sagen, wir wollen ja jetzt schon vorbereiten, dass er gleich da ist.
Ja.
Also, wir haben gleich hier im Studio und jetzt ganz kurz, bevor jetzt irgendwelche Hater kommen und sagen, ein Bayern-Spieler im Studio. Dieses Studio befindet sich in Bayern und zwar relativ nah am Spiel und...
Und du hast halt besseren Zugang als Mitglied auch.
Ich bin nicht Mitglied des FC Bayern München. Boah, Alex, das setzt nicht so was in
Gerüchte.
Die Welt.
Setz wir lieben Gerüchte.
Ja, aber das ist kein Gerücht, das ist Verleumdung. Also, der FC Bayern München, die Abteilung Basketball ist, also in dem Fall wirklich die Abteilung Basketball, nicht weit von diesem Studio entfernt. Wer uns hier besuchen möchte in diesem Studio, ist auch von anderen Vereinen, ist eingeladen. Ob Paulding,
ist das
aus,
jetzt,
Paulding war ja schon da, aber jetzt machen wir persönlicher Besuch im Studio. Sind wir natürlich offen für alle.
Aha.
Ja. Weil wir natürlich jetzt Danilo Bartel schon hier hatten.
Klar. Als Final-MVP, also uns kommt natürlich auch zugute, dass das Basketballprojekt des FC Bayern München relativ erfolgreich war in den letzten Monaten und Jahren.
Aber ich weiß, wie schnell man in diese Ecke gerückt wird, dass man irgendwie dem Verein irgendwie, wie auch immer, ist egal. Ich versuche mich schon zu rechtfertigen, bevor irgendwas passiert ist. Grauenvoll. Monster unterm Bett. Nein, also Derek Williams kommt gleich.
Ja, freue ich mich sehr.
Wir werden das natürlich auf Englisch führen, dieses Gespräch, logischerweise. Mhm. Wir werden ein paar Themen anschneiden, um vielleicht den, soll ich echt Abdi's jetzt sagen oder ist das Quatsch?
Mich schüttelt es ein bisschen jedes Mal, wenn du das gemacht hast.
Den Hörern
Äbte.
Naja,
sagen, aber bitte Vorschläge schicken an abteilungbasketball@gmail.com. Und auch weiterhin bitte Thesen, Themen, natürlich behandeln wir nicht immer, wir lesen alles, das definitiv. Also auch Sprachnachrichten oder auch Mails an abteilungbasketball@gmail.com.
Genau, also um einen kleinen
oder
Faden,
bewerben als Studiogast.
Einen kleinen Faden schon mal vorzugeben auf Deutsch, was wir mit Derek Williams vorhaben. Er ist ja die Nummer 2 im Draft gewesen,
2011.
Der NBA 2011.
Hinter Kyrie. Ja, aber vor...
Bis ich hier mal einen Gedanken zu Ende führen kann. Weil du vor Trivia schon wieder, der Sabba läuft dir aus dem Mund, weil du jetzt von 1 bis 15 den NBA-Draft 2011 durchgehen willst.
Natürlich. Da waren einige dabei, ja.
Wesley, Clay Thompson.
Das war der Wesley-Jahrgang, ja.
Genau. Mhm. So. Es geht immer darum, Derek Williams hat das ja in der NBA hat da einige Jahre gespielt. Aber war natürlich jetzt nicht der populärste Spieler, wie man das eventuell erwarten könnte, wenn jemand Nummer 2 gedraftet wurde. Und vor diesem Hintergrund ist im Grunde seine Karriere verlaufen.
Ja, sehr holprig, kann man sagen.
Genau, also er ist nicht in diesem Scheinwerferlicht, wie jetzt zum Beispiel also jetzt schon ein Zion Williamson steht als Nummer 1
Draft. Ja, wobei du gar nicht weißt, was daraus wird.
Genau, also oder wie überhaupt die letzten Jahre die Stars alle da abgefeiert wurden. Er war quasi immer so ein bisschen unter dem Radar und das soll so ein bisschen, also wenn wir mit ihm sprechen, werden wir genau auch über diese Rolle reden, warum er dann aus der NBA nach China, von China nach München, jetzt mal FC Bayern.
Und wie es möglicherweise weitergeht.
Und wie es eventuell weitergeht und so weiter und so fort. Also, das soll so ein bisschen die Struktur sein, als kleiner Leitfaden, dass er, wie es ihn hierhin verschlagen hat und wie er als, wir werden am Anfang mit dem Begriff Outlier konfrontieren. Das würde ich gerne im Vorfeld schon auf Deutsch übersetzen, damit da kein Missverständnis aufkommt. Es klingt so ein bisschen wie Außenseiter, aber das stimmt nicht, sondern er ist eher so ein Sonderfall. Mhm. Also,
One of a kind.
Ja, genau, dass er eben als...
Weil er halt alles auch ein bisschen kann, also das...
Genau, und seine Geschichte, von der Highschool übers College in die NBA war schon eine andere. Mhm. Also auf der Highschool war er schon, der war auf einem totalen Mini-Highschool. Mhm. Also das war ein totales...
La Mirada heißt die so?
La Mirada heißt das Ding. Also
Kalifornien.
Keine Ahnung, hat irgend so eine kleine Klitsche. Vor dem Hintergrund, dass seine Mutter ihm gesagt hat, keine Sorge, wenn du gut spielst, die werden dich schon finden. Auch das werden wir gleich mit ihm besprechen.
Das ist ja super spannend.
Und das sollte ein bisschen der Hintergrund sein für diejenigen, die vielleicht es gerne hören. Und ja, wenn man auf Englisch etwas hört und dann noch wir als Nicht-Muttersprachler, ist es wahrscheinlich auch relativ anstrengend, uns die ganze Zeit zuzuhören. Aber deswegen wollte ich so einen kleinen Leitfaden mitgeben, damit man weiß, was wir da in etwa vorhaben. Vielleicht reden wir auch einfach nur eine Stunde über LeBron James, was ich nicht glaube.
Glaube ich auch nicht. Darf ich dir noch eine ganz schnelle Trivia machen zum Draft?
Mhm. Mach, dann hast du es hinter dir.
Habe ich aber auch erst jetzt gesehen. Wer wurde an 15. Stelle gedraftet, hat letzte Nacht Eastern Conference Finals gespielt und wurde von den Indiana Pacers gepickt. Und ist schon NBA Champion geworden. Boah. Er ist nicht bei den Pacers geblieben.
Also einer von Milwaukee oder einer von Toronto logischerweise.
Genau.
Er ist nicht bei den Pacers geblieben und war 15. Pick im 2011er Draft.
Das mit den Pacers hätte ich nämlich nicht
auf dem Schirm gehabt.
San Diego State College. Früher Spurs.
Ich weiß es jetzt nicht.
Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard war 15?
Ja. Das, da war, wurde erst an 15. Stelle gedraftet und dann noch von den... jetzt sind sie da.
Jetzt sind sie da und dann sagen wir Hallo zu LeBron ohne B. Welcome to your podcast. LeBron. Derrick Williams. I know you heard this joke approximately 1,000 times a year, but we still love it.
Awesome. Thank you.
Derrick, let's get started with an article we found from the LA Times, March 2011. And the headline is, Derrick Williams, the outlier who skirted the grassroots basketball hype machine and still made it. Mm-hmm. This article was written before the draft.
Mm-hmm. You know but it?
Yeah, I do.
You know the this is a lot about your life and about everything after the college time, but before the draft. So we love the topic, the outlier. That's a really we explained to our audience this word in German is a kind of a special word because it makes you special. Yeah. This is the one mountain. There is a flat area, but there is one mountain. It's kind of the German expression for it.
Yeah.
Is this the story of your life written in one topic here?
I believe so. You know, when I was younger, I didn't go to a really touted high school. I didn't go to...
La Mirada, it was called, right?
Yeah, La Mirada High. I didn't go to a lot of these AAU tournaments where guys are ranked and, you know, top 100 in the country or your top five in your position. I wasn't any of that. So...
But how come that you chose not to join AAU programs?
I joined late. I joined late, when I was at the end of my 10th grade year. So I played a year and a half of travel basketball. And
the Odom team.
Yeah, you know, Lamar Odom, he sponsored our team. And it was a good time, man, especially when you're a young kid and you get to run into NBA guys like that. And some of the Lakers would come to our games as well. So as a young kid, man, you see... What exciting. The highest step is, you know, you see what the highest point you can possibly get on the basketball court. So, but man, like the article is amazing because it really shows that you can make it from anywhere. You don't have to go to the highest, the biggest high schools in the country. You don't have to go to Oak Hill. You don't have to go to Modern Day. You don't have to go to all these other schools that if you're good enough, they're going to come and find you.
That's the quote of your mother.
Yeah.
It's written in this article. Your mother said this.
Yeah.
If you're good enough, they will find you. You don't need to go to a top-notch college or top-notch high school.
You don't. And
Found you.
And they found me. You know, I think, you know, for not being one of the top 150 high school players in the country in my senior year to being a top two pick 2 years later, you know, less than 24 months later, I think it's just a lot of hard work, man, and a lot of determination. I think a lot of people don't pick the right school, you know. they just kind of go to whatever school is like, oh, yeah, this is the biggest school, and they can't play at that level. And I think that's that's the wrong way to think about it. You know, you want to go somewhere where you can stand out, where you can get, you can win. And I think that helps out a lot. You know, and I think our tournament run in college really put that over the top, you know, and it kind of solidified my position. And yeah, man, but you don't have to go to the highest point, man, to get to the highest point.
What we can't imagine here in Europe, I guess, is all the industry that's going with being in a top high school and being recruited and being around the AAU programs and agents and sponsors all there, and they want to sign you already or make contact with you. So I think that's it's a crazy. I mean, it's like that since, I don't know, 10 years or so, that it's like huge like this.
Yeah, it's been probably like the last 10, 15 years.
But didn't you have fear of missing out then?
I think a lot of people, you know, when they're in AAU, you know, it can be kind of a grimy industry with a lot of these companies. And
very negative.
Yeah, with different people trying to get inside your circle and things like that. So, but at the same time, you know, this is what you do. This is what you play basketball to get to the highest level. And, you know, you want to play on these top teams. You want to play with some of the best players in the country. If this guy is top 20 in high school, if I'm on his team, they're going to see me as well. You know, I think a lot of people, well, at least nowadays, the last couple of 3, 4, or 5 years, you see a lot of these high school kids, you know, teaming up with each other, playing on the same teams. And it wasn't really like that when I was growing up. There was maybe one guy that was the main star, and he had a bunch of role guys, you know, and I was one of those role guys that got noticed because we were winning. And that's how I happened to go to commit to USC, and
coach got fired. There was one guy who was at your school because he wanted to watch the star of the school, and then he saw you.
Yeah, it's crazy because I'll tell you the story. So I was in 10th grade. I was coming off the bench in our playoff game. We were playing against Compton, and DeMar DeRozan was a senior. And he's a senior in high school, and he had just committed to USC the year before. So all of USC came out to watch him play, and I happened to have a really good game. I had like 22.
Right place, right time.
Yeah, extra motivation.
Yeah, it was good because, man, this guy's top 10 in high school. And
so you guarded him then in this?
I played a couple of different positions. You know, when I came off the bench, I was guarding him and a couple other guys that were on the court. But, man, it's right place, right time. I played really well. And I got an offer after the game. You know,
after the game?
After the game.
And it's like, well, who's this guy? He's like, oh, he's in 10th grade. It's two more years in high school? Yeah. So I actually committed to USC with Tim Floyd.
Yeah.
You know, and excellent guy. He's actually from Mississippi, just like my mom. So they had that good Southern communication. And that's what really kind of started it.
But then he left USC, I guess, and you went to Arizona then.
Yeah, he ended up getting fired right before my senior season ended for basketball, about March or April. And we had 5 recruits, and all 5 of us left. We were allowed to get out of the college that we wanted to if the coach gets fired. And
okay,
I ended up choosing Arizona with 2 of my other teammates that was supposed to play with me at
okay,
at a USC. And actually one of them was Lamont Jones.
Yeah.
From Ludersburg. Yeah. So it's always good to see him.
So let's make a little time jump here. You got drafted number 2, and what changed for you personally then? I mean, then you're suddenly out of nowhere, maybe, you're in the middle of this hype, and this hype machine.
Yeah.
What happened? And what exactly changed maybe for you personally?
It's a whirlwind, man, just because 2 years prior, I didn't think I was going to be in the NBA at that time. You know, it's not that I didn't think I would ever be an NBA player, but I didn't think it was going to happen that fast. Mm-hmm. And it kind of surprised me because when I was just with my friends, my teammates, we're all hanging out, and then the next week I'm not at school anymore, you know, and so I'm getting ready for the draft. So
how old were you?
I was
20.
I was 19 when my birthday is actually in 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had just turned 20 3 weeks before the draft. Yeah. So,
pretty young.
Yeah, I was pretty young.
And you suddenly know. You have a lot of new friends then, huh?
A lot of new friends, you know, I think that... that's,
and old
that's,
friends saying hello again.
Suddenly. Old friends. Is,
I told you, you made it.
That's how it goes, man. Yeah. You know, especially, you know, when you make it to the highest point in whatever sport you play, baseball, yeah. basketball, soccer, whatever. I think everybody who's in a professional sport kind of goes through that. But it was very rare in my case just because I wasn't supposed to necessarily be that high on the draft board and not only that fast, but I don't think, I still don't even believe it sometimes, you know.
When you've seen the ranking today, you see all the guys that were drafted, Klay Thompson, Kawhi Leonard.
It's unbelievable because I played Klay Thompson in college and he went to a smaller school. In Washington State, and if he goes to Duke, North Carolina, Florida, whatever school you can name, Texas, he gets drafted top five. And I think that
especially this year, because it was like a stranger year, prospect wise.
Yeah,
many Europeans in the first round.
A lot of Europeans, and I think that kind of threw it off a little bit because you know, you have Vesely, Valanciunas,
Kanter,
and Kanter didn't play at all in college. I guess he got suspended or something. But
Bismack Biyombo had
Bismack, it was
Jimmer Fredette also this year. Yeah.
Kemba, Jimmer Fredette, Brandon Knight, Kawhi. And I think that was the biggest surprise to me because I also played Kawhi in college. And, I don't think anybody thought he was going to be as good as he is right now.
He couldn't shoot then.
No. He would rebound. Play good defense, and it was just easy for him to get like 13 points and 10 rebounds, and it was all off of like putbacks and things like that. So I don't think anybody really knew how good he could be, but whenever you're on the court and you're playing against some of these guys, Klay and Jimmer, I mean, Jimmer dropped 50 points on us in college too. So I've seen it. I've seen it firsthand twice.
50 points. He was a beast.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
The hype was real.
Right? Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was. Yeah. You know, and he really proved it, man.
Mm-hmm. Derek, we have so much to talk about, and we have only 60 minutes altogether. So we have to sum it up, the NBA career, within a couple of minutes. How would you sum it up for yourself? All the years, what? Can you give us a little inside view what happened in the first year, the second, and until the...
I mean, interestingly, or you get picked by Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So the situation, can you describe the situation there? Because it all started there. Maybe we can sum it up from there. Because the situation in Minnesota was kind of special in this year.
Yeah, it was... really didn't make sense.
Yes.
You know, when I was... I remember talking with my agent at the time, Pelinka, which is the Lakers GM. And... we were actually trying to get me moved to the third pick because Minnesota had already had fours.
Yeah.
They already had Kevin Love, Michael Beasley, Anthony Randolph, and myself when they picked me. So we had four fours with only 48 minutes.
And, and one basketball.
And we had a really good team, man. But at that time, we were trying to get moved to the third pick. And Minnesota was like, we're taking the best available player, and that's you. After they pick Kyrie, no matter what, we're going to pick you. So I think from the jump, it was kind of, it wasn't the right pick. It wasn't the right situation. And I think that over the years, you know, it did help me out that, you know, Kevin Love actually did get hurt in my second year.
Yeah.
And I started like 65 games.
Yeah.
And that really, really helped me kind of get the ball rolling. And, you know, in my third year, I ended up getting traded to Sacramento, and you know, I thought I played pretty well there as well. We also traded for Rudy Gay and kind of messed up my minutes a little bit here and there. But
also lottery team to this time, Sacramento.
Yeah, it was Minnesota and Sacramento.
Tough situation too. Yeah,
they were the two worst organizations from mid-2000s.
Yeah,
till now, you know, and we didn't really get a lot of wins.
People tend to forget that Sacramento was not the best place to play for organization.
It wasn't ran right. So I finished off my rookie season with my rookie deal with Sacramento. And I ended up signing with the Knicks, a 2-year deal with the Knicks. And that was a big that was big for me because Phil Jackson was the GM. And whenever Phil Jackson calls, whenever you're like, wow, like I grew up like watching this guy like on the court, my Lakers.
You were a Lakers fan.
Yeah, yeah. The growing up after he was with the Bulls, it's like, wow, like Phil Jackson, I know
he's the,
whatever he says, I'm going to be there. Mm. Like, and he's like, oh, the Knicks called. They want to sign you. I say, cool, I'll sign.
No matter, no matter what the contract is.
Yeah, and that was a big point for me because he had a lot of insight for me. He had a lot of different things to say.
Was positive. He there all the time because the rumors were that he wasn't working that much?
He can be honest now. Phil, he actually was there, and a lot of the times he would be on the court. He would have his big high chair. Because his back,
during like prayer,
and he would sit there.
Yeah,
he wanted to sit there on the court. You could tell he wanted to coach, you know. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Derek Fisher was our head coach, so he had a lot of insight with him as well. And man, it was just, you can tell he really wanted to coach, but he just couldn't be there full time, and it wasn't his job. His job was to be the GM. So,
and what book did he give to you? Because he was known for giving books to players.
He gave me like three or four books.
Books.
he's like, check these out. And I'm like, okay. But no, he's a really, really, really smart guy. Mm. You really want to, when he starts to speak, you want to listen, you know, because he always has good things to say. But man, it was a good
also
time.
Also, tough situation. Like it's the hugest market in the world.
That's why I wanted to go to the Knicks.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, playing in Minnesota, playing in Sacramento,
then playing Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, small markets.
Yes.
And then I wanted to be on a bigger stage.
Yes.
And it was the Knicks, man. And I think that regardless if they win 10 games, it's gonna be packed.
Yeah.
They're gonna be cheering. I mean, unless you're losing by 20, 30 points, then they're going to boo. But but it was good that we didn't necessarily... Yeah, we lost games, but we were competitive. And that was the difference. And I think the fans really appreciated that.
Knowing you played 80 games for them.
I played 80 games. And
Melo was there, right?
Melo was there. Mm-hmm. And he was really big for me because growing up, I wanted to be like him. Yeah. You know, and that was the first jersey I ever bought, Carmelo Anthony jersey. And... And I was actually showing him a picture of me, like
when
I was
in the Denver jersey.
Yeah, when I was cool. Like 12 years old, 13. Uh-huh. He was like, "Man, this is unbelievable!" Like you could see on his face that he was like, "Man, it's a bigger impact than just playing the game."
Mm-hmm.
And man, it was big for me because I wanted to be like him. I wanted to kind of combo 3-4. That can, as athletic, that can shoot it, and I want it to be like that, you know. And
I think you're more athletic.
Yeah, I think so too. He will tell you that too. But yeah, it was a good time in New York, and I took my player option, and I signed with the Heat, and I think that I wanted more exposure. I wanted to play more. Mm-hmm. I didn't necessarily want to be behind Carmelo, and. The Heat that year, with no LeBron,
was first year.
No Luol Deng, no Dwayne Wade. He signed with the Bulls.
Oh, that was their year. Spoelstra still there.
No Chris Bosh. Mm. Yeah, Chris Bosh was with the blood clots, and so I really wanted to use that experience, man, and kind of go into a rebuilding program. And it didn't necessarily work out the way I wanted it to.
Mm.
I had a lot of great talks with Pat Riley, and he was always honest with me, and that's what I respect about him. You know, sometimes I think an NBA can be a business, and yeah, it's fun, but it can be a business as well. But he was always honest with me, and I think that I respected that the most about him. You know, whether I wanted to hear it or not. And I think that's why he granted my release so early. I was asking him for my release from the Heat because I wanted to play, and I didn't care where it was. I just wanted to play, and I didn't want to just sit there and wait till February, the trade deadline. Mm. And that's why he gave me my release in December,
mm-hmm.
and I was able to sign. Still again. Palenka was my agent, and he's like, hey, Denver wants you, the Nets want you, and the Cavs want you. And I was like,
okay,
I'm going to the Cavs. He's like, I don't know. He's like, okay, but the other two teams, they want to sign you for the end of the season.
Yeah.
And the Cavs are only offering you a 10-day. I said, I don't care. I want to go to the Cavs. I'll prove myself again. And that's how I've always been, man. It had nothing to do about the security. I just wanted to play. And I ended up signing a 10-day with the Cavs. And I signed another 10-day. And then they ended up signing me for the rest of the season. So, and we ended up going to the finals that year. So I think that was the biggest thing. You know,
and you got your minutes too.
And I got my minutes. Mm. And I think not only did I get minutes, I got minutes on arguably the best team in the league at the time.
Yeah.
You know, and we had Kyrie, Kevin Love, Bron, Iman Shumpert,
Thompson.
Like we had a really, really solid team. Mm. And I think we proved that, especially in the East. We just ran into a better team. I think
the one better team
that could beat us, you know. And I think everybody is noticing that now over the last 5 years that. Hey, for the Cavs to even get one of those victories against them, I think that's a plus. So,
and when you watch NBA games today, where does your heart belong then?
Ooh, I'm a Laker. I'm still, a Laker fan.
Although you don't know where who is going to play on the team next year, maybe
you can
LeBron,
still text Palenka.
But if LeBron would call you right now in this moment and would say, Derek, join us next year, but I'm not sure if you're going to play, but you'll be on the team. You would follow the lead?
I have to have tough a long one. Talk with that. I want to play. And I think that was my decision why I came here. Mm. You know, and I didn't want to be in a position to where I'm just kind of here and there. Like kind of here and there. I wanted to really prove myself again.
So you, after the Cleveland contract, you waited a couple of months. Nobody. What happened then? After Cleveland, and then you went to China.
I went to China. Yeah, I was a free agent.
5-6 months between this.
Yeah.
Situation.
Yeah, so the season ended in June. Free agency starts in July.
Mm-hmm.
Waited in August, September, November, and then still nothing. I had some European offers, but I was still. Stuck on the NBA. Like I wanted to be in the NBA, and I'll wait. And
so nobody called.
Yeah, which was very surprising to me because I thought I played really well.
Yeah.
But I ended up signing to China, and I was there for 2 months.
Before we talk China retrospectively, do you think it was a mistake to join the Cavs and not play teams that might have played you more? I mean, yeah.
Sometimes it's. It's
like exposure wise.
Yeah, sometimes it's, you know, like I say, when I had a 2-year deal with the Knicks, like I still think maybe I should have taken my second year with the Knicks, just picked up my player option. I always think about things like that, but
of course,
but you know, you just live with the decisions that you make, and I think the best decisions are your decisions, and you have to live with it.
Mm.
And when I went to China, that was my decision. I didn't want to go to Europe because. I would be out of the NBA for a whole year.
Mm.
You know, there's no buyouts.
Shorter season. Okay,
shorter fine. Seasons. Mm-hmm. And that way of thinking last year got me back to the NBA with Palenka.
Yeah.
So he became the GM of the Lakers. He was no longer my agent for the year. Mm-hmm. And I ended up signing with the Lakers after that. So,
got a 10-day then.
Yeah. And it was near the end of the season, but... Now that I look at it, I'm glad that I picked to come here.
Mm.
And I wanted a whole season.
Yeah.
I wanted to have a whole season of production and just to be able to play through mistakes, play through ups and downs.
Different style of play.
Different styles.
It's a different basketball planet, isn't it?
Yeah. It's much different, man, especially, you know, EuroLeague, BBL, they're different leagues. Different countries, different styles of plays.
Different cultures.
Yeah.
Different referees.
It's true. The few months in China, because, we go to China in September for the World Cup.
Okay.
So we're pretty excited what what will expect us there, or what we can expect.
Yeah.
So basketball wise, we heard a lot of things about the league as well. So about the country as well. So what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Do you even remember the name of the team you played for?
Yeah.
Be honest.
Yeah, the team I played on was the Tianjin Golden Lions.
Very good.
And it was a good time. They're only allowed two Americans per team.
Yeah. Mm. And only one can be on the court for the fourth quarter, is that
first
right?
First and fourth.
First and fourth. It's so crazy.
Yeah, so we have to sub in for each other. And second and third, we can play on the court together.
You played through.
Yeah. But it was good that I had Pooh Jeter.
Pooh Jeter?
Yeah, he was my teammate. He's from Los Angeles as well. So it was a good connection while we were out there. He's a little older than me. So it's good to have somebody in your corner, you know, and it has been through different parts of the basketball world and what to expect. And
how are the gyms like?
Cold. they don't turn the heaters on out there.
Even in winter or what?
Yeah, even in winter, man. That was probably the weirdest thing for me. The gyms were cold, man. Like,
the gyms were cold.
We had like floor heaters by our legs, like portable ones.
Portable, so electric.
Like heaters. Electric, like you plug in and.
Jesus.
Because it was really cold. Like you had to have a hood. And probably of the 12, 13 different gyms I played in,
that was a
10 of
thing.
Them were cold. Like
really?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But they have some nice arenas.
Crowds are
top
good.
Notch. Just depends on where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
I think like Beijing, Shanghai. You know, I think if you're on those teams, it's obviously there's more English, but I think that they understand basketball a little bit more in certain cities. But overall, man, the China experience was different. It's different than what I'd ever experienced, but it's a good chapter in this book that I have, man.
The outlier, remember.
The outlier,
you're the outlier.
You have to go through things that you don't want to do sometimes, you know, and I think everybody goes through that, no matter what profession you're in. You have those days where you're like, man, we got to do this, we got to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to, man. And I think not everybody has that golden ticket to just kind of do whatever they want to do. And, you know, and
when you decided to play in Europe then,
I
guess you had a couple of offers then.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you decide to play for Bayern Munich then? And did you ever heard of the franchise? Because obviously it is one of the most popular soccer clubs in the whole world. So did you ever heard of the brand?
I heard of the brand. Yeah, I heard back at home. I think, you know, soccer is not our most marketable sport in the States, but we still know all of these teams: Bayern, Real Madrid, Barcelona. Everybody in the States knows select teams. So before, I didn't know anything about the basketball. I just knew, okay, if their soccer team is top notch, I know their basketball, I just signed.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like I did with the Knicks, you know, and with no, let me look at the roster, let me look at this or this. At this point in time, when Byron called me, I wanted to sign.
To sign? Because they play EuroLeague as well? That was one of the main reasons, I guess.
That was the main thing. And I think, you know, at first when I had a couple other European offers, half of them were in the EuroLeague and the other half were in the Euro Cup. Mm-hmm. So I automatically eliminated the Euro Cup teams.
More East maybe then.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't want to play in the Euro Cup, and it's not anything that's bad about it. I just wanted to play at the highest level and really prove myself again. And
Did you do some research? Like, how's the style of play? Did you watch some video, EuroLeague?
Or did you prefer Germany before Russia? Or what?
I mean,
yeah, country wise, good.
Yeah, question. Like you look at all these countries there, especially in the EuroLeague. And I think the only other one that had like great weather was Spain. So it was like Spain or Greece, you know?
Spain or Greece.
And I think that. If you, besides those, everything is going to be either snow or rain.
Yeah.
So I immediately got that out of my head. Like it wasn't like the deciding factor.
Yeah.
Just because playing in Minnesota It's cold out there, man. So,
I know a guy who played hockey there. He told me.
Yeah, it's freezing. It's freezing. It's like Russia.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. But, you know, I don't think that had any deciding factor. I think in me just wanting to play, and I knew that this team was young.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it reminds me of this article that you just showed me a few minutes ago, that you don't have to go to the biggest teams. You don't have to go to Panathinaikos. You don't have to go to Cheska. You don't have to go to these teams to get noticed. Mm-hmm. And but I do know about Europe is they value team basketball. They value winning a lot more than individual stats. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes in the NBA, people get carried away with, oh, this guy averaged, you know, 25, 26 points a game. So how many games did they win?
Yeah, good stats team, on a bad team guy.
Yeah. And it's like,
we're a little bit surprised about the intensity of the basketball games here in Germany and in the EuroLeague as well, because every game is like it's the last game on the planet. Like, they really fight for the win and fight for everything.
Yeah. And that also kind of surprised me a little bit. You know, my first game was against Panathinaikos at home.
Yeah.
And... Yeah, it was like a playoff game.
You skipped the F as well.
Yeah, the F is game I didn't play. And
that was a beat up.
Yeah, it wasn't too good of a showing for us. But I give us our guys a lot of credit, man. I think that was the only game that we were out of, which was our very first game.
Mm.
Other than that, we were in a lot of these games, you know. And but it's the intensity. I think it really does fit the style of play that I like to play. Just aggressive intensity. It really reminds me of like these playoff games. And when you have these big teams playing against each other, it's like, okay, like we got to come ready to play today. And that's what I like about it. Every game is like a last game.
Mm-hmm. Tell us something about your impressions of the first weeks you with the team. I mean, this has to be a completely new situation. You have there was a new coach who was kind of a rookie coach concerned to in his international experience. Mm-hmm. There were many players
He coached Red Star.
He coached Red Star, but never outside of the former Yugoslavia. Give us your impressions of the first weeks. What do you feel there? What was your impression? Is this the right team? Is this the right city? Did I do anything wrong here, or was it the right decision?
Culture shock, maybe.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a culture shock. But at the same time, it was good because a lot of people speak English, you know, mm-hmm. and I think that helps a lot. He's a good coach, man. Coach, he knows what he's talking about. He really challenges you, you know. He really, really challenges his players to bring out what they can really bring out. And I think that sometimes you don't get coaches like that. You don't get coaches that they're just like, we'll leave him alone. Like, we'll do this, we'll do this. And he's on me more than anybody on the team.
But Derek,
in practice.
the first time he said to you, and Derek, you will come off the bench. You were like... Come on, are you kidding me?
Good point.
I want to play basketball. I'm like coming off the bench here.
You know, people always ask me that. You know, it's like, why aren't you starting? And it's like, I don't have to start. You know, and that's okay with me. Yeah, I think a lot of people would be like, oh, well, the individual accolades and all this. They're looking at starters, and but that's okay. Like, I'm not upset about that.
Personally, as a professional athlete, maybe, because of course there's an ego too.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You know, you want to start. You know, I think that, in the back of my mind, I'm like, I want to start, especially some of these bigger games. Like, I want to make sure that we get off to a good start, you know? And, but at the same time, it's okay, man. It's coach's decision. You know, we have a really good player with Danilo. He can really do different things on the court. He can shoot the three. He could play multiple positions.
Don't rank him too high. We want him to stay in Europe and in Germany.
he's a really good player, man. And I think people are starting to see that now. You know, I think that we've had great battles this year, especially in practice. We're getting each other ready for the games. And I think, you know, sometimes I'm out of position. And I'm having to guard bigger guys. Danilo's a little bit bigger than me, and he's more of a post player. So that that also helps my defense out. And him having to guard me in practice, I think it helps his defense out as well, too. He's getting different looks than what he's used to. Mm. You know, I think he's not used to people shooting fadeaways, even though he's, even though he's 6'10".
Now he's
I'm shooting fadeaways over him. And he's defending me really well in practice, man. I give him a lot of credit. But it has nothing to do with who's going to start, who's not going to start. This, I mean, I probably started like 3 or 4 games this year. Yeah. But
when he was injured.
Yeah. It's like, but it's, I don't think we never sat down, and he never was like, hey, do you want to start? Do you want to? That's not why I'm here.
I mean, it's still a competition.
It's a competition.
Within the team too.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, we're going to practice in this competition, but just like this Friday, you know, we have a game and we're on the same team, but in practice, we're not on the same team. Yeah. So, you know, that's the mindset you have to have. And that's the only way to get better. Mm. And I think throughout this whole year, we've been challenging each other to continue to get better and better as the season gets on.
If you sum it up this year, I mean, your first season in Europe is almost in the books. Is it the way you expected it from everything? The way, the competition, the traveling, the everything?
Yeah.
Traveling must be tough sometimes.
Yeah, the traveling is tough sometimes. You know, I think, you know, my first 6 years, everything is charter, everything. So no matter what time you land, leave, you can leave whatever time you want. And I think, I mean, that's the only difference. It's not like... It's not a huge difference, man. Like, yeah, I'm on the bus like 3 hours. That's okay. Like, I'm a regular person. I'm a regular person, just like everybody else. Mm. I can sit on the bus for 2 hours.
The grind. I mean,
it's a grind.
So many games and so far away.
It is a grind, man. Yeah. I will tell you that I haven't practiced this much in May.
Okay.
Ever.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Oh, so, like, we're still going twice a day.
Okay.
It's a grind. It's a grind, like every day, boom, boom, boom. Yeah, in NBA, you play more games.
And you
so it's like
less,
you practice less because you're playing so many games.
NBA coaches always complain that they have no time to practice.
There's no time to practice, you know, because you're playing Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday, Monday.
Sunday, Monday, back to back,
You know, and it's like 4 games a week, and it's like, when can you really practice for an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Also grow together as a team, as we have seen, you know, with Boston this season. So that might
Had
their problems.
You need, I think that's been the best thing is, you know, whenever we have struggled, we've came back into the gym and just really prepared and fixed out the kinks that were getting us losses. Hmm. You know, I think we lost 3 out of 4 earlier in the year. Not early, but we lost to Vecta. We lost to
Oldenburg.
I think we lost a EuroLeague game in between there. So we lost 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 5. And I think that was the point where I came into the locker room and it's like, we aren't as good as we think we are, you know? And I think maybe the EuroLeague kind of got us, you know, over our heads a little bit. And then sometimes we came into these games, we can just walk in here and win, and we're not good enough to do that, regardless of which team we play. So we have to continue to keep getting better, and you know, that's the best. That's been the best thing. I think it's just kind of going back to. I haven't had that in a long time. Of like, okay, we're gonna come in and really practice today.
Uh-huh.
It's already halfway through the season, 3/4 of the season done. You don't really get that in the NBA. There's so many games, you can't really get back to the basics.
Interesting.
When we talk to our German players who play in the NBA, for example, Daniel Theis or Paul Zipser, they say the chemistry is completely different in the NBA. It's more, you know, everybody does his own
individual
thing. And here it's more, you know, let's go bowling. Let's do stuff like that.
Let's go Oktoberfest.
If you compare... By the way, have you been to Oktoberfest last year?
That was the first week.
Yeah, it was the first week you got here.
It was like the third day. Like I got here and it started like that week. So
more cliches, not possible.
That was that was a good bonding.
That was the reason you signed. This is the city of the Oktoberfest.
Palana Zelt.
If you compare the team chemistry that you experience in the NBA and now this 1 year here in Munich, how would you compare these two things?
this is really like team bonding out here. I think we're with each other so much more than our families, you know, especially we're seeing each other 5-6 hours every single day.
Every day,
you know, sometimes even more than that, especially when we're on the road. But we eat 2-3 meals together every single day, you know, and I think you don't get that in the NBA. You know, it's more individual, like some of the guys that you were talking about. The only other team that I would say that had the similar type of bonding was I was on the Cavs.
Okay.
Where whatever city we went to go eat all as a team.
Okay.
Every road trip, you know. And the teams before that, we never did that. Mm. And
in one of your interviews you did with us, you mentioned LeBron, that you learned a lot from him in this year.
Yeah. You know, even though I was only on the team for 5-6 months, you can learn a lot from guys like that. Obviously, not just on the basketball court. Mm-hmm. He's one of the best to ever play the game, but just his thought process. He's always 2-3 moves ahead, you know, and he sees the game like no other. And I think that's his best quality is, yeah, he's athletic and he can score. He's improved his jump shot over the course of 5-7 years, but his IQ is so over the top, and his training is, it's not necessarily about working harder, it's working smarter and making sure you're on it every day, you know. And that's why it's been 16-17 years and he got hurt for the first time, you know.
It's crazy.
He's really spending crazy. About $1.6 million a year on nutrition stuff, and
I've seen it,
personal training.
I've seen it. Like, yeah, this is a lot of money.
It's unreal.
This is a lot of stuff, like, like that I would never even think of, you know. And he always has a chef, always lifting weights, off days, riding the bike, Versa climber, make sure he's eating the right
thing. Strange machine he used to do.
Like, yeah, that's a Versa climber.
Yeah.
And I asked him, I was like, sometimes when you're in a hotel, like, how do you not order the room service? Uh-huh. You know, and he's like, I just trained myself, like,
discipline.
Like it's at my house too. Like, I have this fridge right by my bed. It's like, when I'm hungry, I have the biggest bowl of fruit right next to me. Like, I don't eat pizza. I don't eat burgers. Like, I don't, just why would I do that? And
why would I do that? Because it tastes good.
And I'm like, yeah, you're right, man. But that burger is really good, though. No, it's he's a next level athlete. And for the course of 16-17 years, he's been played the most games, the most minutes, most NBA finals in a row. And that's just hard work, man. And I think it's not just on the basketball court. It's what you do before the basketball court that can really propel you up to that next level. And the leadership, never blaming like other guys, never like, he always wants to make the right play, you know. With 3 seconds left, he might not shoot the ball because there's a better shot. And I think that's what people don't understand. He's such a team player. I might have a good shot, but there's a great shot right next to me. If he makes it or misses it, it's okay because it was a better shot. And he just has a lot of trust in the people that are on his team. And that's what you have to have, that communication, the trust, the passion. He wants to, you have to prove to him that you have that passion, you know what I mean? That passion to really keep up with him. And I think that's what he respected about me the most, is I wanted to win. I wanted to help, you know, improve this team. And when I got there, that's what I did.
I think that's the right mentality for your franchise right now, because Bayern Munich is known for, I mean, this is one of the best soccer teams in the world for a couple of years. And the president, Uli Hoeneß, who said for a long time, we only play soccer. They don't want to allow to play Bayern Munich, for example, in handball, basketball and stuff like that in the first league, because they were afraid that the brand Bayern Munich could be damaged. Mm-hmm. So they only allowed chess to play in the first league. Oh, wow. Soccer and chess.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
And so and then they added basketball.
Yeah.
But with this mentality, if we do it, we do it the right way.
The right way.
To win it and to be, after a couple of years, one of the best teams in Europe.
Yeah.
Do you feel this kind of mentality that this franchise has, win, that winning is everything? And could you compare it to franchises you played for in the NBA? That was maybe not the, that they, you know, for example, the Sixers, they have a process. They tank for a couple of years. They wait until they win basketball games. If you compare
they
the
got mentality, pretty good doing yeah, this.
If you compare the mentality right now mm-hmm. with Bayern to your teams in the past, what is the difference?
Man, looking into the future maybe as a model for staying here, because you know there's a program going on at the moment. It's a progress. You're mm-hmm. here, also a pro kind of process.
Yeah, I mean, I met with them last week with Marco and Daniele, and we had a really good talk about next year, and I think with what they're doing now, I think it's only going to get better, and I think that's the reason why I wanted to come here. Is they haven't necessarily had like NBA level guys. You know, they've had you guys that played in Europe and then they've gone to the NBA, but they haven't necessarily had NBA guys go to this specific team.
Exactly,
and I think now he really sees the difference of like, okay, we have the brand to get these type of players mm-hmm. over here and really make it that high level team in Europe. And that's what he wants. And I think that you have to get really quality players, which we have on this team this year, but it's a building process. And mm-hmm. I think the way that he's kind of building it, and especially like in his head, I think that it's similar to like the Celtics mm-hmm. with Boston, you know, and when they had KG, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, Rondo.
So who's like, Danny Ainge, Daniele?
something like that, you know. A lot of people were against trading Garnett. You know, mm-hmm. they were against trading Paul Pierce. And when Danny Ainge did that, he was like, "I'm setting it up for the future. Like, yeah. I'm getting all these most 5-6 draft picks, this and this." And you know, they didn't even have
for the franchise too.
Yeah, you know, it's like 5-6 years ago, you'd have been like, "I don't think this is the right idea." But now they're. Mm. Eastern Conference the last 3-4 years, like they're just one piece away, you mm-hmm. know, and with these draft picks that they have coming up.
You just said two magic words before, next year. Mm-hmm. You were talking about next year with the guys. So what can you say about next year?
Yeah, I'm still undecided. I love it out here, man. It's been great, not only mentally, but...
So you really like it in Germany here? The city is one of the top two cities in Germany. There's only Hamburg and Munich. Like for me, for living for a long time.
Yeah, it's a really good city. Yeah. A lot of people are very nice. They're coming up to me. They want to be like really respectful. They don't really want to take pictures. They just want to shake their hand and stuff like that. Yeah, you know, especially I wasn't necessarily expecting that.
Yeah.
Obviously with the soccer team and it's
a whole different
level. That's another level, right. You know, I think that's like the NBA.
Yes.
NBA and soccer here is like the same, you know. But man, I like it here. I've had a really, really good time, really good experience.
Winter isn't that long normally, so please don't take it.
We have climate change. I mean, it's getting warmer every year.
Yeah, it's I can't complain. You know, it's been everything that before I signed here, what I wanted to accomplish and to really get my options back, you know, having the options to do what I necessarily want to do.
So basically it's NBA or Bayern?
Basically. You know, and I think that I've made it pretty clear, especially with Uli and Daniele and Marco, all those people that are in the head office. And you know, I really want my teammates as well to, I never bring it up with my teammates because I don't want them to have that in the back of their mind.
Of course.
Neither do I, you know, it's like we're in this thing for 30 more days and it's like we have a common goal that we want to win. We want to win this championship. And it's like, if I'm sitting in the locker room talking about, oh, I want to go here or I want to do this or I want to go and do that. Like they're looking at me like, this guy's not here.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
He's somewhere else.
Yeah.
And that's why when I came here, I wanted to really, you know, give give it all, you know, give myself to the team and really get back to the basics and be able to, you know, not have them think, oh, this guy is, he's in the NBA. He's thinking about the NBA. Yeah. He's thinking about this. Like,
That was always the case. I think when you arrived, we never had the feeling that, I mean, it took like one or two games that we recognized, okay, this guy here is for real. He's not like, we had many EuroLeague players here coming from the NBA who also had a lot of difficulties adapting to the style of play. And then we see you, I think your first basket was this baseline dunk. So, okay, he's here now. I still remember that one.
Yeah.
So you adapted really quick. So it wasn't like, okay, this guy's any kind of fake or something.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to prove. You know, I always try and give it my all. Whenever I'm out there on the court, I think, you know, sometimes I get frustrated. I want to win. You know, I just want to win. And I've had talks with coach and say, like, you got to calm down a little bit. And it's like,
you get frustrated with refs too. Yeah. But you don't get attacked.
Yeah, it's crazy. They respect it. I respect them.
You get superstar,
them.
No cost.
I don't personally attack them. I don't personally...
No,
at their face. Like, I just get emotional.
Other players would get.
Oh, yeah, sometimes, yeah. Sometimes you get that.
Sometimes.
That, I know what you mean. Yeah. You know, especially last game.
Or the look.
Sometimes I get frustrated and I just want to win, man. Yeah. I just want the game to be fair. I want us to have a fair opportunity to win every single time. And, you know, sometimes it might involve me getting into tech. And, yeah, it takes out of my salary, but I'm doing it. To change the game.
Yeah, of course. You know? So that kind of emotions, in my opinion. But sometimes I thought, okay, if another player is doing this, man, he might
get attacked. But I think we all have mutual respect. And, once I say what I have to say, then it's over.
There is some interesting thing about playing in the NBA. When we talk to the German guys, as mentioned, they say, well, they are looking for role players there. I mean, you have every franchise has its superstar or maybe two, or Golden State three or four, whatever. And the rest of them are role players. Mm-hmm. So you want to play the game of basketball. You want to not sit on the bench. Mm-hmm. Maybe... it's better for you to stay in Europe because
the style of play fits you really well.
Yeah, the style of play fits you, and you can do everything. I mean, you can play one on one. You're a team basketball player. You can shoot the threes. You can rebound. You can do everything. Mm-hmm. But they are looking for role players in the NBA. Maybe they don't have a role for you right now.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was actually reading something on Twitter last night about Looney, the five man for the Warriors, and. They're saying who would have ever thought that we were going to draft or they were going to draft James Looney to be a role player on the Golden State Warriors, because in the draft he wasn't getting drafted as a role player. He was like, maybe this guy can really help change our organization. And it's like, I know he can do a lot more different things than what he's just doing on the Warriors. Mm. Sometimes you have to sacrifice your individual stats or your individual play to have a common goal. So I think that not every organization, especially in the NBA, is like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're at a championship level and it's like, okay, we have this piece, and we have to kind of fill around. But the Warriors, they have it down packed, you know, and I think not every organization is like that. But yeah, I mean, Europe has been fun. It has been. It's been so, exactly what I expected, you know. And
did you miss the States because of maybe family? I don't know.
Of course. You know, my family is in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. but
you don't have just, kids or
no, yeah. no kids. So it's
you're free to stay.
You know, I really, really, really do enjoy the style of play out here.
It fits you. It really does.
Yeah, like when I came out of college. I wanted to be this star player, you know. Not everybody has the opportunity to be a star player, and that's the mentality that you can have in working out. Like, you want to be a star player, but sometimes not everybody can get the keys. Yeah. You know, not everybody is okay. This guy has the keys, and let's follow him. And it's like, that's cool, that's fine.
Hmm.
But if I was to do that, I want to be in the mix, you know, and that's my deciding factor. I want to be a part of that puzzle, and wherever it might be, if it's here or if it's in the NBA. But at the end of the day, it's for me, it's about winning. I don't really care about scoring 20, 25 points. Yeah, it's good, but I'd rather
if,
win.
If you want to win basketball games, and if you want to, I'm pretty sure that the Bayern Munich program is, well, in progress, for example, with a new arena in 2 years and stuff like that, there will be, I think, in the top 8 teams in Europe. I'm pretty sure. I mean, this is the mentality of this franchise as long as I know them.
Of course. And,
still know, some unfinished business, maybe.
Yeah, you know.
Playoffs almost there.
Yeah, that was disappointing for me.
Yes.
it wasn't our team goal.
Would have been crazy the first year.
That would have been amazing. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, being one game away, you know, it really takes you back throughout the season, like which game really like hurt us, which game.
There was the stretch.
In Final Four, you know, like 3 in a row.
Final Four maybe in Germany next year.
Oh,
so that's another nice
little home cooking, huh? but it's been a good experience.
I can't complain. No decision yet. We can broadcast it if you want, your decision.
whenever I have my decision, I'll make sure I come back to you guys.
Take your talents to Isa.
Isa Beach.
Yeah, great.
So we're running out of time.
We don't want you to miss practice.
Yeah, that's true. But
you got a fine then, or
yeah, coach, you'll be pretty mad.
Okay,
maybe you will come off the bench next game.
You could, yeah. Okay.
I know, right?
So Derek, you would start, but yeah, you got late for those. You're coming off the bench. Yeah,
Derek, last question: who's the best dunker in the league?
Oh,
NBA or BBL?
BBL.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Javonte Green.
Yeah, he's really good too.
Second.
he's really good too.
Okay. Yeah. Second best. I think I had 5 dunks against him. Yeah. I really wanted to make sure that he saw all 5.
Okay.
See, I have these things in my mind. Like, okay.
I'm pretty
sure I'm going to catch this one hand today.
I'm pretty sure you won't meet him in the playoffs. But you're going to meet maybe Berlin, Oldenburg.
Yeah. All 3 teams that beat us. Mm. I think we all know what's at stake. And that's the reason why we wanted to finish the season in first place, to have home court advantage. You know, we didn't have a good showing last game. I think with Braunschweig, they have a really solid team. Mm-hmm. They might not be on paper, but they do their execution really well. But I think that we're going to be a much different team on Friday. You know, and I think we all know that we can play 5-6 times better than what we did on last Saturday.
Yeah, we were wondering, was it 3rd gear? Okay, so it was 5th gear. Sixth gear.
But is it possible to play 50%, 60% as a professional? Do you always want to give 100%, kind of?
Yeah, I mean, this has been so many games. I think this year we probably played 70 games or so.
That, yeah.
We're up there. 30 in EuroLeague. 36
yeah. Right now in the BBL.
Yeah. Plus playoff. Yeah, so we're almost at 70.
35 plus cup, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, yeah, the cup game, too. Yeah, it gets exhausting, man. It does. You know, I think being the only team in BBL to have that type of schedule.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Berlin had the Euro Cup schedule, but some of these teams are really preparing for us for like a week, 8 days, 9 days, you know, and... Man, I wish we had that.
That's the highlight of the season because you play them once maybe in their gym. So.
Yeah, and you know, Vector put on a really, really good show against us. We couldn't bounce back. Mm. You know, every time they brought it to 15, 16, we bring it to 8, and then they'll hit a couple threes in a row, and then they were just momentum killers for us. But, you know, there were definitely points in the season where you can tell that we were a little exhausted, a little tired. But, you know, whenever... Like now in the playoffs, we have these 5, 6, 7 days to kind of really prepare for a team and go over every play that they're running towards us or they're trying to guard us certain ways. And I think we all know that, especially when we're on offense, they're going to try and double team me or get the ball out of my hand. So we have to figure out ways to score easier buckets.
What are the players that that stood up most individually when you played against them in the league, in the BBL, or maybe EuroLeague too? So maybe guys you didn't know, like... I'm thinking Ricky Pauling, maybe, like...
Yeah, Ricky Pauley, Hollins.
Yeah.
Ooh.
TJ Bray, maybe?
Yeah, TJ.
Did you read the Twitter timeline today?
Yeah, I did read that.
Yeah, you know, you did read that? Okay.
Yeah, he's a good player. So I see why Byron is trying to miss, you know, but yeah, there's really good players, man. Of these guys, yeah, well, like some of these guys I've heard of, but I've never had really a chance to play against them, you know, and even I'm bringing up Lamont. I haven't played on the same court as him for like 6 or 7 years. And you can really see the growth and maturity that he's gone over the last, you know, the last few years. And whenever I see some guys that I know and I'm like, man, this guy's a much better player than 3-4 years ago. You know?
We have 5 minutes left, Derek. We have to hear something about the private life of Derek Williams in Munich. What are you doing in your free time?
Man, I don't do too much, man.
Are you guys playing video games or going to museums?
Are you a Fortnite guy?
No, I'm Call of Duty, man.
Call of Duty. Okay.
Yeah, I'm normally playing my PS4.
Uh-huh. Really?
We have like 6 or 7 of the guys that also hop on the same
on
game.
The team.
Yeah,
on
so team. It gets exciting, man. So
who's the best?
Let me guess. Devin is one of them.
Yeah. He's actually really good too. Yeah. Him, Marvin.
Marvin, okay.
Ooh.
Danilo, no.
Nah, yeah, Danilo's not a gamer.
No.
He's not a gamer.
Devin has 3 little kids.
Amaze.
He's playing video games.
Yeah.
Braden? No.
Braden's a family guy.
Braden.
Yeah.
King. KK. Okay.
He's a family guy too.
Yeah, he's a family guy. I think these guys, they all want to be kids as well still. So
yeah.
It's always, it's
honey,
it's
I have to read the playbook playing Call of Duty, okay.
But I'm really not doing too much, man. I'm really basic. I'm not really...
Not so much time to enjoy. Maybe you have nature, here's lakes and the mountains and stuff like that.
We've enjoyed, you know, English Garden and stuff like that as a team a few times, so... Whenever we do have a chance and it's nice outside, we definitely like to try and check it out. But,
what about beer garden? You like?
Not really a beer drinker.
No beer drinker?
No. But from what I've experienced, they're all pretty cool. You know, the Oktoberfest, I've never seen anything like that. So.
But it can be scary too, because that many people packed into a...
I've never seen so much beer in my life.
Yes.
For one. But yeah, there's a whole bunch of people packed in there. And it's a good experience. I've only heard about this in like on the internet. Mm-hmm. And like people saying, hey, like, you ever heard of this October?
People dressed up as well.
Yeah, people are dressed up in the outfits and...
Friends, so maybe will fly next September. You're still on the team, of course. Then friends will fly.
Yeah, I'll make sure that they come out. Yeah. Now, if I'm here next year, I'll make sure that people are coming out.
People
for that.
Are coming from LA.
You have to experience that. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, sure, everybody goes there. I mean, I took a break last year. and what we need at the very end, we need a name for you. We call you D-Will in Sonor. Is D-Will, people call you D-Will in...
Yeah, that's been my nickname probably since ninth grade.
Ninth grade?
Wow. Yeah, like D-Will. Darren Williams in the NBA. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was actually on the Cavs with me, so it was funny because we had two D-Wills. And
he was on the Cavs with you.
They started calling me.
His last stop.
That was his last stop. And they started calling me Flight.
Flight.
I can see that.
They're just like, this guy's flying all over the place. Every time you throw it up, he's going to catch it. So they just started calling me Flight since we didn't have two D wheels because we both look. We'd be like,
another turnover.
He couldn't fly for sure compared to.
Yeah, but D wheel is, that's been my nickname for like 10 years. So.
Was the last pass by, I think, was it Jovic? The last alley oop you had, this very high one. And we were wondering, was that a good pass or was it just
Danilo.
A good pass for you? But Danilo, was it?
Yeah.
The kind of a windmill.
Last regular season game, was it? Yeah.
Against Ulm?
I think so.
I think it might have
been. It was Ulm, yeah.
No, that was Jovic. That was Jovic.
Jovic. Was it?
That was a bad pass. That one was a bad pass. I tried. I didn't think I was going to catch that.
Yeah. But. And Jedovic was running back with
disbelief that you catch it.
I think that the best lobs are the bad passes.
Yeah.
Those are the best lobs because they make the best pictures.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you can somehow make a bad lob,
you have a collection of your dunks at home.
I have some pictures. I have some pictures. Yeah. I mean, when I was in a dunk contest my rookie season, some of my highlight dunks, things like that.
So look that up. What year was it? 2011. Who else was it?
Paul George, Chase Budinger, and Jeremy Evans from Darshafaka.
Derek, I'll give you a promise. When you stay here for Bayern Munich, I will make a collection of every dunk of the BBL you made in this year.
Okay, we
get everyone that. On video.
Yeah,
but you have to stay here. That's for sure.
EuroLeague. We have to include EuroLeague too because there were some nice ones in EuroLeague too.
Yeah. We have to watch every match.
You can make look people pretty bad when you spin.
Oh yeah,
they look so slow.
We used to have. Plays for that, you know, from backdoor lobs, spin outs, and the one against Maccabi Danilo, that was also a bad lob, and he knows that one too. He goes, it wasn't actually a lob, it was just a regular pass. So,
what's that behind the back?
The one I caught, way behind me.
But in the meantime, the people know that you go almost every time to the back, to the right shoulder,
yeah. They know. Yeah,
they know me.
But it still happens.
Doesn't help.
Oh, great. Derek, it was great to have you here.
Thank you.
It was one of our wishes for this season that you will join us here in the studio because everything what we heard is this guy is amazing. He's so humble. He's so nice. He's so friendly. And he plays such a great basketball.
I hope I proved that today. I try and just, man, I'm a regular person just like everybody else. Yeah, I might have played six years in the NBA, but it doesn't change. Here now and cool. Enjoying
if you want, we can change our bank accounts. So maybe you can see what a regular person lives on.
Okay, I think it's time to go now.
Just saying. I mean,
it's been a good time.
You earned every cent, of course.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
We hope we see you again next year.
We have a few games left.
A few games left.
This season.
We win the chip, I'll come back. I'll celebrate with you guys.
Oh, good. That's a promise.
All right.
That's a promise.
That sound good?
That sounds very good.
Amazing.
Perfect. I'll do that.
Thank
Great.
You.
Great.
Cool.
Let's buy the booze.
I appreciate it.
So, dann haben wir ihn verabschiedet.
Die Will.
Da lagen wir doch gut mit dem Spitznamen, den wir intern ihm vergeben haben. Sehr angenehmer Zeitgenosse. Ein sehr, sehr freundlicher Mensch.
Definitiv, ja. Sehr reflektiert.
Mhm.
Spannende Lebensgeschichte auch. Auch wenn wir jetzt da gar nicht so viel gesprochen haben, aber das ist mir dann noch eingefallen, diese Geschichte mit der Mutter und so weiter.
Ja, man kann 2 Stunden...
Aber er kommt ja nochmal, möglicherweise.
Wenn und so weiter. So, das war sozusagen unsere Spezial-Sonderausgabe. Alle, die sagen, sie wollen auch mal bei uns ins Studio kommen und sind so gut wie Derek Williams und fallen und bestehen unser Casting. Nein, Quatsch, die sind jetzt herzlich eingeladen. So, wir machen nächste Woche dann weiter. Nicht vergessen.
Wissen wir schon wann, ob Dienstag oder Mittwoch?
Boah. Nee, um ehrlich zu sein, nicht. Weil...
Ich weiß auch nicht.
Ich denke Dienstag, ne? Aber das...
Wir versuchen auf jeden Fall den Dienstag einzuhalten, wenn...
Ja. Wenn es Fechter-Bamberg-Spiel 4 gibt, wäre das, glaube ich, am Dienstag.
Hm. Wir schauen mal. Wir beobachten mal die Serie und entscheiden dann.
Wobei nicht gesagt ist, dass nicht auch noch bei Berlin-Ulm oder Ulm unter Oldenburg-Bonn ein Spiel 4 entstehen könnte.
Gar nicht.
Oder bei Bayern gegen Braunschweig.
Überhaupt nicht.
Das ist
no
nicht
offense Rücken no gegen offense. Den Wandteams.
Gut, das war's für heute. Bis nächste Woche. Paris Athen, auf Wiedersehen.
We treat people here with complete respect. This is Germany.
Ciao, Gordy.